Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And welcome to the Lord's house. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your blessings. And Father, we come against all things that want to bind us as we begin to deliver the word today. And Father, we ask that you put the words in our mouth to speak, Father, that you would have us to say. For we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The title of today's message is, What is Your Destiny? And I really don't want anyone to get confused with this title, because we're not talking about some locked-in path that you will trod in the sense that people think of predestination and that you're set on a path and no matter what you do, that's what's going to happen, because I don't believe in that. But destiny, essentially, is talking about our future. According to dictionary.com, one of the synonyms for destiny is future. What is your future? And we have a lot of choice in what our future is and what our future holds for us. Another definition is something that will exist or happen in time to come, or condition, especially of success or failure, that is to come. And so there's a lot of different definitions for destiny. You could also say, what is your destination? Where are you headed? And that's something, folks, that we need to stop and take a look at every once in a while. Where are we headed? I don't care if you the rank a sinner to the best Christian there is. There are times we still need to take time and do some self-examination and find out where we are headed. Now, I want to make one thing clear, though. There are really only two final destinations. And guess what? You get to make the choice as to which one of those two that you go to. Think about that. I remember back in Bible college, we talked a little bit about predestination. And, you know, there's a lot of, some churches do teach that still today, that there is predestination, that certain things are going to, certain people are predestined to go to heaven and certain people aren't. And, I really don't believe in that teaching. But in predestination, and the example that was given that I've always remembered is one person told me, if I buy you a ticket to get on this cruise ship and take a cruise around the world, I have predestined you to get on to take that cruise. But if you never get on the boat, you will never take that cruise, even though you have the ticket in your hand and all the expenses have been paid for. You've got to get on the boat. And that's kind of what we need to look at. There are things that God would have in our lives for us, but we just don't get on the boat. We don't get with the program, so to speak. And I want to go back and look at Adam, the very first man. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, we find out that his name is Adam. And so God created the very first man. And out of the very first man, the Bible tells us, he took a rib and created the first woman, and her name was Eve. And it goes on to say that she is the mother of all living. Now, I want you to clarify that and realize that's the mother of all living human beings. But let's look back just a little bit further, though. And you can't go a whole lot further back than this. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, which speaks of creation and speaks of all the things that God did during this six-day period. And it says in Genesis 1:31, And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So if you read the first book of Genesis, and it talks about the 6 days of creation, that all the things of the order that God created them in, the last being man and what he had done there. But then it goes on and tells us that God had a special relationship with this part of his creation, with this man, with this woman. We know that God fellowshiped with them in a very personal way. Very, very more personal than even what we have today as Christians. Because it tells us that God walked with them in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Think about it. God had a special relationship with Adam and Eve. He walked with them in the cool of the day in the garden. But then we find out that they disobeyed the thing that God had told them not to do. You know, he didn't put a lot of restrictions on them. He simply said, "There are two trees here, and you don't eat of either one of those trees. You don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't eat of it." And of course, that's the one that Satan tempted Eve with, because he wanted her to have this knowledge. And because of this and this disobedience to God, sin entered into the world. You know, they had it made. They were living in a perfect world. They had everything that a human heart could desire. And they had something very special. This personal relationship where God walked with them in the garden. Now I know today as Christians, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And on numerous occasions when people have asked me questions about religion, what religion do you belong to? And what is your religion like? What does your religion teach? I tell them I don't have a religion. I have a relationship. Because when I became a Christian and I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, I was restored to a relationship with God, where I have the Holy Spirit guiding me. I have Jesus living in my heart. I have that relationship now. Everything that we had back in the garden hasn't been restored yet, but at least the relationship can be restored at this point. So they chose to disobey God. Here they'd had everything that the heart could desire, living in a perfect world. A world more perfect than even we could possibly imagine today. But they chose to disobey God and break the one rule that he had told them not to do. Because of this, they chose to take a different path, one other than the path that God had set before them and put them on. And they broke perfection. Think about it, folks. They broke perfection. Now, man was created to live forever in a fellowship with God. God had intended for us to live forever in that fellowship. But now, there's a separation that has taken place. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, where I read, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." We stopped halfway through that verse. Here's what the rest of it reads. "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Now, instead of walking with God and fellowshipping with him in the cool of the day, they're hiding from God. "Oh, I don't want God to see me the way things are now." And we, as human beings today, still think that we're hiding from God. Sometimes we still think we're pulling one over on Him, that we're doing something that He doesn't know anything about. But I've got news for you. You can't hide from God. He knows every little thing you and I do. It's no secret to Him. Well, the Bible goes on to tell us just what followed up here in Romans chapter 5, 12. Paul is telling the Romans here, "Whereby, as by one man," speaking of Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin." You see, God had told them not to eat of the tree, lest they die. The devil came along and said, you won't die. You'll be more like God. Well, they did. No, they didn't die instantly, but their bodies began to age. Their bodies began to take on things they'd never had before. And even though it took hundreds of years, because they were living in a perfect body, it took a while for sin to break it down. And now look at us today. The average person probably maybe lives somewhere around to be 70, 80 years old. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're only given promise 70 years, and some people don't even get that much. And so the body begins to decay on its own here. The moment we are born, we begin to die. And so because of this, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so it began. God had purposed and planned great things for His creation, but He gave man the ability that He didn't give any other creature, that of free will and choice. And man made the wrong choice. And man is still making wrong choices today. I don't care where you're at, where you live, what your financial status is, what your health status is. People are making wrong choices today. And we today suffer in many ways because of wrong choices that we or someone else have made in our lives. Wrong choices. Later on, in fact, quite some time later, after the children of Israel had spent 400 years in bondage in Egypt, God had delivered them. And then, as they're walking out of Egypt on what should have been roughly about a 3 weeks journey to get to the promised land, but because of their choice to murmur against God, to murmur against Moses, they ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness. A 3 week journey turned in to 40 long years. But at the end of that time, they entered into the promised land, and they entered in under a new leadership. And that was of Joshua. And of course, Caleb was there as well, the only two of the older generation that actually walked in and set foot in the promised land to reside in it. If you recall, going back 40 previous years, they'd sent 12 spies in. 10 of them said, "We can't do it. We might as well turn around and go back. We can't do it." But Joshua and Caleb said, "With God's help, we can do anything. We can take it. I don't care that there are giants in the land. With God's help, we can take it." But the wrong choice was made, and because of that, all of that generation, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, died before the children of Israel entered into the promised land. But now they've been in the promised land, and Joshua is coming to the end of his life now, and he's making a speech to the children of Israel. And in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, here is what Joshua says to this large multitude that is gathered to hear him give his last speech to them. And he says this in verse 15 of chapter 24, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now he's thrown out a challenge there. He's given them essentially three paths to follow. They can serve the gods that were before the flood. And we all know what happened before the flood. It became such a wicked world that God determined to destroy it. And save for Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, humankind was almost completely wiped out. Only Noah and his family survived that flood. Or you can choose to follow the gods of the Amorites. This is the land they're dwelling in now. This is the land that God has given them. But those who had dwelled there before had served false gods. You can serve them. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We are going to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are going to serve the God that brought us to this place. I am going to serve the God that is Jehovah, the God that is the creator of all things. He is the one that my house will serve. Well, all throughout the Bible and even secular history, we see what choices man has been given, choices of which path he can take. And if you go back and you look in history, for every event that happened, there's almost certainly a choice that could have been made. A slightly different path could have been taken. And history could have possibly even been changed because of that. And man makes right choices, and man makes wrong choices. We all do. And we do it on a continuing daily basis. Jesus even warns us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, reading from the King James, he says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. But many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And I want to read this from a little bit more modern English translation, which says in verse 13 and 14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction." It's easy to go down the pathway to destruction. The world is trying its best to lead you down that pathway of destruction. Hollywood is trying its best to lead you down that pathway of destruction. Television, radio is trying its best to lead you down that pathway of destruction. Thankfully, we still have some Christian programming that is truly Christian, that is trying to set us on the straight way, the narrow way, the way that gets us to heaven. But there's even a lot of what goes as Christian programming that if we are not careful, it will put us on the broad path that will lead us to destruction. We have to make the choice. And every day, we make choices. A number of years ago, my son-in-law, Reese Hill, did a Bible study in church on a Wednesday night. And unfortunately, we apparently did not record that Bible study, and I really wish we had of, about how choices can affect our lives. And he made a chart and showed how that if these choices can affect your life. And in other words, every day we get up and make decisions. Sometimes it doesn't really matter which way we make that decision. In fact, it doesn't matter whether you have a cup of coffee or you have a Dr. Pepper in the morning, as I do. That's a choice, though, that some people make. Which do I have? What do I have to drink? That's not going to affect you so much. But there are other things in our lives every day that we make a choice as to what we will do, and it can end up affecting the lives of others. We make choices at work. We make choices driving down the highway. And sometimes those choices are simply just whether or not I'm going to obey the speed limit, whether or not I'm going to obey all the traffic rules, whether or not, oh, that light's just barely turning red, I can make it through it. Things like that. And yet that choice could end up affecting someone else's life, maybe a group of people's life. We make those choices, and because of those choices, it can affect our destiny. It can affect our destination, how we're going to end up. For example, we make that choice that we're going to, oh, the light just turned red, I can make it through, and we end up in a horrific accident. And maybe we end up spending the rest of our life in a wheelchair because of that choice. Or had we not made that choice, we would have lived a happy, healthy life. See, it's something sometimes just as simple as that, that we make those choices that affect our lives. Many years ago, I did a talk for a group called Toastmasters. And this is an organization that you basically teaching people how to give better speeches and how to better present things to the public. And it's a lot primarily for business people who want to be able in their job to be able to communicate more effectively with the people they deal with. And so I decided to do a speech which I titled, Do You Believe in Fate? And in this I talked about myself and my wife without ever mentioning our names, and that how throughout our life up to the time we met, which was when I was in my mid-20s, that we had come so close to meeting each other. And even though we lived over 1,000, almost 2,000 miles apart, we knew some of the same people. It was amazing how many things that we had in common as far as people that we knew. We knew some of the same preachers on a personal basis, things like that. And yet the day came that we finally met. And I told people, you know, there were so many times that we came so close to meeting. I said, boy, if you want to believe in predestination, I said, we were predestined to meet. We were predestined to become husband and wife. Well, as I was thinking about this the other day, and getting prepared for something else, we were talking about things that happened in our youth. And I recalled this speech, and I realized that had I, as a young teenager, taken a slightly different path and dated someone differently, I could have ended up being my wife's uncle instead of being her husband. So you see how these things sometimes work out. It's just so close sometimes. There's so many twists and turns. In my son-in-law's speech, he drew a graph. And if you make this decision, this can happen, and this can happen, and this can happen. But if you make this decision, that will happen, and that will happen, and that will happen. We have those choices that affect our life. And our everyday life has a lot of twists and turns. And sometimes I think because of that, and maybe we don't even realize that always, but there's really, it boils down, there are really only two paths, though, and two choices that we have to make in life that are going to affect us for all eternity. You see, we got off the path that God intended for us to be on. We got off of that straight and narrow path that God had planned for us. But God has now given us a choice of how to get back on the right path. You see, we're right now, when you were born, The Bible told us, I read it earlier, we're born in sin. I'm sorry, folks, I don't care how good you are and what a great life you live. I don't care if you go to church 7 days a week. If you never accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're still a sinner. You were born in sin, and you are on the wide, the broad path. And that broad path is going to take you to hell. Oh, I know some people don't like that word. They don't want to hear that word preached about. But that's what the Bible tells us. The broad path will take us to eternal damnation and eternal separation from God. And we're on that path when we start life. But God gave us a choice. He gave us a choice to get back onto the right path, to get back into that right relationship with Him. And that choice was Jesus. You know, in just a couple of weeks from the time we're recording this message, we'll be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we can argue about it wasn't December 25th, and I don't think it was December 25th. We really don't know the day. It's not recorded out there somewhere that Jesus was born on this day, blah, blah, blah. So we choose to celebrate His birth on December 25th. But unfortunately, when we celebrate Christmas, we don't always celebrate the reason He was born in the first place. And you know, here in the United States, there has been a big disagreement over the last number of years about, oh, don't say Merry Christmas. You're getting off into religious things. Don't say this. We'll celebrate the holiday, but take Jesus out of it. Well, the whole thing is about the fact that our Savior was born, but the world doesn't want to recognize, the devil doesn't want you to recognize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, was born at that time. So he wants you to celebrate everything else but the fact that the Savior was born. And I know I saw something so disgusting the other day, and it was a nativity scene, but Jesus had two dads in the nativity scene. Well, that's an abomination to God, folks. Strictly a downright abomination to God. And if you don't like me for it, well, I'm sorry. But that's the truth. It's an abomination to God. Because of this, there was a path given to restoration of our fellowship with God that was lost almost 6,000 years ago. God made a way. He sent Jesus to be born of a virgin, to grow up just like we do, to know what was going on in His day, to see some of the same things that we go through, to be there, but that the day would come that He would give His life to pay the price, to be the sacrifice for our sin, that our relationship with God could be restored. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. I don't care if the most famous preacher in the world tells you that there's more than one way. It's a lie. I don't care who they are. If they tell you there's more than one way, it's a lie. It's not the truth. Jesus went on to say in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's going to find fellowship, but only through Jesus Christ. Oh, I know there's some out there that are preaching that there's multiple paths to Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said there's only one way. Now, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Jesus, or are you going to believe some man or woman Only one way. Only one path. There are many paths out there. That's true. There are lots of paths out there. But only one leads to God. All the rest lead to destruction. They lead to eternal separation from God. The one path, through the cross of Calvary and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on that cross, and accepting Him as our personal Savior, can we be restored to that right relationship with God, and someday go to be with Him in heaven and dwell with Him for all eternity? Or we can follow a multitude of other paths and find that the day comes that we are eternally separated from God and there is no way out. My friend, if you're not on the right path today, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I urge you to do so today. I urge you to get onto that path today, to ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life, and it's so simple. Just with all sincerity in your heart, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me by your blood. Restore me to relationship with you and with the Father. In Jesus' name. Won't you do that today? Before we go, let's read the blessing that was recorded in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. I just felt like putting this in today's message. And I put it from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. May Yahweh bless you and protect you. May Yahweh make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh look with favor on you and give you peace. And when you've gotten on the right path, that is what will happen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.